Love how Albert says that, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. It's personal. Grab your Bibles, grab your handouts, and something to write with. We're gonna go on a journey, a little bit more of a journey. We're in this thing called More that was intended to get us all thinking. So put your thinking caps on. I know we've got educators in here, so you guys know how to do this. Get your thinking caps on. We're going to do this after the new year. We usually do something about losing, which, you know, goes with, because we piled on a whole bunch of stuff over the holidays and time to lose. And so why would a pastor do something about gaining? Well, we're not going to gain weight. We've decided that that's not good, but we're going to lose some behaviors, and we're going to get some more behaviors that are important to our Christian journey. Would you agree that we're all on a Christian journey, that sometimes we're just kind of beginning the walk and we're learning how to do this? Super cool. Our number five, I get to number our children, our grandchildren. Our number five grandson, his name is Wesley. You haven't got a chance to meet him a whole lot yet. He started walking, and you know, you got the little jello leg thing going on, and then of course it's face plant after face plant. It's kind of cool to see face plants, because I like face plants. Seems like the only plant that I can't kill is a face. You guys are going to have to listen quicker, come on. And in a matter of a couple of weeks, he goes from little jello legs to, like, I can barely get this thing going. The dude's running. And I'm thinking, man, isn't that the way it should be in our Christian walk? We're like, okay, I'm starting to get it figured out. And then all of a sudden, it's like, man, let's go. And he's climbing up ladders. He's going, he's got four other kids that are chasing after him. It's like the greatest time in the world. We need the same type of behavior, characteristic in our own life. Listen, who wants to be that Christian that's like, oh, I don't know how to walk, so I'll just kind of be this guy? No, we got to learn how to run. We got to learn how to get more of that in our life. Remember, here's the whole phrase that I've been using. We need to believe that we can do more with God than we can do on our own. So as we began, last week was this idea of serving more, giving you opportunities to get involved in areas. And I just want to say thank you to so many people who have said, hey, I can do something. And you know, from computers to kids to signing up for hospitality, all these kind of things. It's like, man, I can do something and just receive a bit of a blessing in being able to do that. Well, those are physical gifts that we've been able to do. God's gifted you with the abilities to do things. Today we're going to talk about another area, and that is in the gift that has been given to us by God, and it's a responsibility, and it's the gift of finances. And everybody goes, ah, because finances are a gift. Now, here's what I'm going to set the stage, so don't tune me out yet. I'm not going to stand up here and say you need to give more, because I've realized that sometimes we have this tendency to say, well, I will give more. I don't know how, but I'll do something. Today is going to be in stewardship. Now, stewardship is not just a church word, so don't just... Stewardship is this. How do you take care of something? How do you take care of that? So if you have a house, you're called to be a good steward of your house, which is you take care of your house, your car, your kids. Stewardship is basically taking care of that. So while this is not a message on giving more, it's all about stewardship. How can I become a better... How can I do more with my stewardship, especially in relationship to that which I have been given? So, how many people have heard messages on giving? How many of you have said, man, I just don't know how to get there? I'm lost. Be like, great, I'd give but if you know how my finances are, I just can't give, so I can't give. And so this is gonna be a vehicle by which you will be able to get into. You'll begin to apply some things. And remember, this is all about biblical stewardship. And then once you get going, you'll be able to say, hey, I think I can apply God's standard to my life, and I can have more in my life. So here's a couple of phrases about stewardship that I want to just kind of begin with. It is this: if you are not a steward at all, meaning I'm horrible, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, you can begin the process today. If you are a steward, you can become a better steward. And if you are a better steward, you can become a great steward and actually become a mentor to other people to help them along the way. This is going to be Christian discipleship. This is going to be, how do I do what God's called me to do? This is going to be, how do I get to that place? And I'm going to give you the tools to be able to do it. Do you know, in the Bible, there are some 2,350 verses that talk about money. In the Bible, there's more verses that talk about money than there are that talk about heaven, hell, and love. And you went, what? Really? No, true story. And the reality of that is because in the Bible, God knew, especially as days began to unfold, God knew the power that money has over people, and knows somehow that that power begins to, sometimes it corrupts, and sometimes that power is used incorrectly. And so there's passages of scripture that we're going to go to. Here's a simple test. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many times have you asked for God to help you in a financial area? You've just like, oh God, help me. Comes out like, I'm broke. God help me, I've got to pay rent. God help me, I got to pay this bill. God help me. And it's, there's this sense of, oh God. So we're crying out to God. Now he's got an answer for us. And it's going to begin like this, and some of you are not going to like it, but here's what it is. Luke chapter 16, verse 11, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? So sometimes the prayer is, oh God, I'd love to have more. Lord, give me more so that I can have more. And that's not what this is about. But here's what God says. Listen, if you're going to ask for that, be trustworthy with worldly riches. Anybody have a dollar? Sure. How about a 20? Anybody got a C note laying around? Come on. Everybody's like, what's a C note? It's okay. Google it. So God's going to do this. He's going to show us how to become a steward. Then he's going to show us how to become a better steward. And then he's going to show us how to become a great steward. And here's where we're going to begin. So get ready to write down here. Stewardship begins. Stewardship begins with knowing what I have. You got to know what you have so that you can begin to take care of it. If you have no idea what you have, then how in the world are you going to take care of it? And this is indicative with our world in which we live. How many of you guys just love records and numbers? Like, oh man, they're my thing. I like to add, I like to subtract, I like to look at them all, and I like to put them all in a box, and I like to look at numbers. You're weird. Reality is, you're weird. But did you know that knowing what you have is a biblical responsibility, and it brings with us the responsibility to do that very same thing? Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23, 24. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Listen, shepherding was the primary business of the day. Be sure to know the condition of your flocks. In other words, shepherd, go out there and you start doing this. And as you begin to do this, you begin to know, I know how many sheep I have. Jesus said a little bit later on, Luke chapter 15, suppose a man has 100 sheep. Well, how in the world would he have 100 sheep? He counts them. He counts, he knows exactly what he has. And so to begin stewardship, we've got to know what we have. That is the stewardship. That is the act of counting what we have. If this were to be said today, which it kind of is, rather than knowing the condition of your flocks, it might be knowing the condition of your stocks. Do you have a house? Some of you go, I don't know. Well, you better know. Do you have a car? I don't know. Well, you better know. Those are the kinds of things that we have to get to know. Again, not going to ask for a show of hands, but this has been said. I have no idea where my money goes. I just don't know where it goes. I get it, and it's gone. That is knowing what you have. And the reason for that is people are actually spending more than they make. And you go, well, I didn't know that. How come I don't know that? Because I don't know what I have. And too often, you don't know what you have, and you don't know where your money comes from, and you don't know where your money goes. God's word says this: be careful, know the condition of those things, know what you have. Now, I'm going to throw this phrase out here more than once today. You need to know, and you need to believe that you can do more with God than you can do on your own. Now, if anybody's feeling guilty right now, please stop. We're not about not guilting you. I want you to feel okay and begin to learn and grow. This is not about somebody going, well, the pastor said we got to do this. It's about how do I get better? How do I grow? And what does God's word say to me about these things? And so the first step in stewardship is knowing what I have. The second step is this. Let me go to this because this is really kind of important. I've asked you to write this down. You got to know what you own. Know what you owe. Know what you earn, and know where it goes. That's a lot of no-nos. You got to know what you owe, you got to know what you earn, you got to know where it goes, and you got to know what you own. Own, owe, earn, go. Listen, if you don't know those things, then chances are you're like going, I have no idea where my money goes. I just don't know. And I make decent money, but it's just gone. I just have no idea. So the second thing is this in our stewardship growth is this. Stewardship grows with planned spending. Now, I want to say this very carefully. I said planned spending, not plan to spend. Because sometimes people go, dude, I got 20 bucks. I don't know, but I'm going to go spend it. That's planned spending. That's planned to spend. Planned spending is I got 20 bucks. Where should it go? Here's the Good News Bible, and I'm going to go through different translations today. Good News Bible, Proverbs chapter 21. Plan carefully and you'll have plenty. If you act too quickly, you'll never have enough. Anybody say, oh yeah, that's me. If you act too quickly, you'll never have enough. Do you know what just completely trashes a planned spending plan? Two words. The first word is impulse buying. Ladies, you guys are just awesome. Love you. I'm just going to walk away. Impulse buying. It's like, oh, I went in to go get this, and look, I have a whole basket full of baskets. I got something in my eye. I thought we were just going to go get milk. Impulse buying, and that just completely ruins what your planned spending is. Remember this, if you act too quickly, you'll never have enough. Rarely, if ever, does a company who wants to entice you into purchasing their whatever it is, rarely, if ever, do they care if your budget is in order or not. All they want is you to buy, and if you just buy the one time, then that's awesome. Now, the other word besides impulse buying, and I realize that's two words, but the other word is sale. And it gets justified by a statement like this. Oh, honey, look how much I saved. Now, again, if you're feeling guilty, get over it, because this is, we're all in this boat together. And the whole word sale, which is to entice you into impulse buying, to go, oh, this is dope, man, I got a brand new thing. I have no idea what it is. I didn't know I needed it, but they told me I needed it, so I bought it. That is impulse buying and a sale. Now, I'm going to go to the Good News Bible again, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, the second half. Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. So, somebody call me out. Pastor, you said stupid in church. It's in the Bible. And, you know, just get off your self-righteous little hobby horse there and go, you know what? It's okay. Because the reality is, this is a principle that we all have to learn. You know what? It's not smart. And so the opposite of smart is not smart. And not smart people spend their money as fast as they can get it. Now, sometimes you're in the habit of impulse buying. Sometimes you're in the habit of spending it as fast as you can get it. Sometimes you're in the habit of like going, let me ask you a question. How's that working out for you? For those of you that are just like, oh man, I'm continually broke. I'm continually behind the eight ball. I'm continually this, I'm continually that. And here's where God's word says, here's how you can fix that. Now, I love it because, you know, we can go to God and say, hey, God, you know, fix my spiritual condition, fix me, save me from all my sin. And he's like, okay, I can do that. But we also want to continue on in the journey to say, okay, God, and then fix me, help me become better at what I'm supposed to be being and doing as a Christian. Help me to be more in my life. And so he goes, great, get your checkbook out. Really? Yeah, that's how we fix it. So, how do you spell relief in this? B-U-D-G-E-T. You guys are going, B-U-D-G-E-T. Let me spell it out for you. Budget. That's what planned spending is. When you plan to spend, you just plan to spend whatever you have. And there's a lot of phrases that happen out there, but, you know, there's the most typical one, you know, why can't I borrow from Peter to pay Paul? And sometimes we rob Peter to pay Paul, and sometimes, well, that's all fine and good, but sometimes then Peter says, wait a minute, you need to pay me. And how we do that is through a godly-centered budget that's going to help us. A budget is telling your money where to go rather than wondering where it went. A spiritual, godly budget is telling your money where to go rather than going, gosh, I don't know where it all went. It's just gone. So God says, live within your means. It's a pretty simple principle. We need to believe that you can do more with God than you can do on your own. So again, if you're sitting here going, oh, I'm just so bad at this. I wish I could get better. Okay, that's the place where we're like going, okay, God, come in. Help me. Oh, I'm just so bad. No, God, help me. Fix me. Help me get all this stuff. And I promise you this, when you say those words, God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for taking all my sin and making it just go away. Thank you for that. Now, God, come in and help me fix this part of my life. I promise you, God will. I promise you that if you apply godly principles to your life, God's going to go, woohoo. Now, he might be going woohoo right now. So, the third thing is this. Stewardship matures. Notice how we're doing this. Begins, grows, matures. So there's a psychological path that I'm taking you on. It begins, it grows, and it matures with saving for the future. Some of you are like going, dude, the future is today. I'm living my future. No, you're spending your future. And living within a biblical, godly means helps us honor God with what we have. Why would we ask God for more if we're not taking care of what he's given us? Now, from the Living Bible, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, the wise man saves for the future. Too many times, things like tires and brakes have put people into bankruptcy. Read a study that there's some average people. I don't know that there's really any average people in the world. look at your neighbor. I don't know that they're average. But the average person, the average family in Switzerland saves 32% of their income. The average family in Brazil saves 15% of their income. The average American family, less than 5%. Why? Because we got a lot of opportunity to just spend money. I read another study just this week that said that of 25%, get this, 25% of households that are making $150,000 a year. Now let's just stop right there for a minute. 25% of households that are making 150 grand a year are living paycheck to paycheck. And some of you are going, dude, really? 150 G's, man, that'd be great. I'd love it. My many years ago, my next door neighbor had bought a house directly right next door to me, cash flowed the entire thing, meaning he didn't put a large down payment, put hardly any down payment down. He and his wife were in the medical field, and so they were doing that. They were doing that very same thing. They weren't planning. They bought way too much. They spent way too much, but they were fine because they had monthly income coming in, and one tiny little hiccup in that monthly income threw them off. They needed to make $12,000 a month. This couple needed to make $12,000 a month. Some of you are like going, are you kidding me? Let me say it again. They need to make $12,000 a month to support themselves. Well, the first month that comes in and they don't make 12 grand, what happens? Boom. They're behind. And it's paycheck to paycheck. Now, you're like, oh, well, I'm so glad I don't have to have $12,000 a month. Okay, but on the two that you are making, what are you doing with it? That's the principle, saving for the future. Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away. But he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. I love seeing alabaster Monday. We call it Alabaster Monday because it's the Monday after the Sunday that we collect alabaster offering. And in these big boxes that we have, and we've collected it, we brought it all in. And then, you know, Bonnie and Jennifer and all these, you know, they sit down and it's like, it's coins. I mean, it's pennies, it's nickels, it's dimes, it's quarters. For the most part, that's what it is. It's a penny here, it's a penny there, it's a dime, it's... And all of a sudden, we'll go, oh, well, man, we've got, there's $459.13. Really? From pennies, nickels, and dimes. Now imagine the some 18, 20,000 churches around the world that are doing that very same thing. Little by little, pennies. We pick up pennies off from the street. Why? Because we put it in the offering. Because it's a penny. And you're like, oh, it's just a penny. Yeah, it's just a penny. But it adds up. Little by little, the Bible says, it begins to grow. Please don't pray for the lottery. The lottery has ruined more lives than it has saved. And oftentimes, those that have won the lottery have become worse off in a few years than they were before they won the lottery. And so easy money to come by is really easy money. But what we've got to be able to do is save for the future and save for a rainy day. Anybody know where that phrase came up, saving for a rainy day? Anybody know where that came from? Well, let me help you out with that. Somebody say, yes, Pastor, tell us. I have no idea. Hang on. No, we couldn't make it rain back in the day. And, you know, farmers, their deal was raising crops and was growing things. And it's like, man, you know what? They can't make it rain. So they would save food. They'd save provisions. They'd save money for a rainy day, for the day that it didn't rain. Or the other side of it is, if it was raining too much, they couldn't go out and do their thing. So they're saving money for a rainy day. So that then you're able to live. I'm about ready to do this, aren't I? Make it rain. No. They're able to do this throughout their farming cycle so that they're not living like up here and down here. They've saved appropriately over a period of time. And the principle still applies to us today. Little by little, it will grow. Listen, if you're going to be good stewards financially, then we've got to be living by someone else's standard. So you don't make 150 grand a year. Okay. But you're still living paycheck to paycheck. Then God help us. God help us get this put together. Now, so far I've gone through four different points, and I haven't said one thing to you about giving to God. I've said to you, take these principles, take them, begin to apply them. But one of those principles in stewardship is this: it is biblical tithing. God's word says, give to Him. Pretty simple. Our often response, but God, you don't know what my situation is. So God, if you would just bless me with money and get me out of this situation, then I'll give to you. Now that's a very common, again, very common feeling that people have. God, if you just get me out of this jam, I promise, dude, I'll take care of you, man. You know, me and you, we got it together. And God says, wait a minute, but I've already given you stuff. And how come you're not taking care of that now? Oh, well, I was gonna get to that, God. Well, and God goes, well, you're violating a principle of His, which is to bless you without seeing obedience first. Every single story in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament is all about obeying first and then the blessing. Yeah, but we in America, we'd love to get the blessing first and then make a promise that, okay, you bless me and then I'll do it. And then, you know, we go back on whatever we said. But biblical tithing is this. First of all, remember it's all God's to begin with. He gave you the ability. He gave you the desire. He gave you the ability to get education. He gave you the ability to do all those kinds of things. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, New Century Version. Bring to my storehouse a full tenth of what you earn. Test me in this, says the Lord, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out all the blessings you need. But first, we've got to bring the tenth, the storehouse tithing to God. And then say, okay, God, here, I'm bringing it to you. Take care of me. Now you're calling him out. And he, the only time in Scripture where God says, go ahead, test me. How do I know that? Because I've read the Bible. The only time in Scripture God says, I dare you, I double dog dare you. Well, he didn't say that, but test me in this, he says. Test me and see. Go ahead. And so you're sitting here kind of going, well, God, I don't know how to do this. God, I don't know how I'm, and God's just go ahead, test me, try me, and see if I won't pour out my blessing on you. Three reasons that tithing is important. I wanted to put these in so that we can help us with a little progression. The first thing is this. It helps me be thankful. When I give to God, and listen, what have I said, you know, every single time we take the offering? When you place it in, it is an offering of thanks. God, thank you. I'm able to give to you. Thank you. It's a statement of thanksgiving to God. And when we tithe, we're able to say, God, thank you. Why am I saying thank you? Because God has provided for us. God has provided for you. He's given you jobs. He's given you the ability to get jobs. He's given you ability for a house. I mean, there's just all these things people say, God will thank you for that. And the second reason that tithing is important is it helps me to be hopeful. Now, here you go. This is putting your faith, this is putting God to the test. God, you know what? I'm doing the right thing, and I'm honestly giving you a tithe from my what has been provided to me. But I don't know what's next. So it causes me to be hopeful. God, will you actually take care of me? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I pretty much guarantee you nobody in this place is going to be able to say, God's let me down. God's failed me. No. So it causes us to be hopeful, which is a statement for our current situation. And then the third reason that tithing is important is it helps me to be faithful. So thankful, hopeful, faithful. It helps me to say, so I've trusted God, I've seen how he has worked, and he's taking care of me, and so I'm thankful, I'm hopeful, and I'm faithful, meaning I will continue to do this. Over the years, we've seen how this begins to work. Remember, as I said, I'm going to say this statement. We can do more with God than we can do on our own. So now, about now, there's probably some of you that are feeling, ugh, I wish I could have done more. I wish I could do more. I wish I didn't go out and go buy that new whatever. Listen, don't get sucked into all that. Today, if you're going to go home and watch the Super Bowl and watch the companies that have spent somewhere around $5 to $10 million for a 30-second spot, do you think they just want to throw out some information to you? They want you to buy that new thing. They want you to go buy 100 bags of Doritos. They do. They really, really do. Don't do that. Don't get sucked into that. Doritos are bad. They're going to kill you. But they're really good. But they're really bad. So don't get sucked into that. That's what that whole impulse sale buying is all about. But to get to that place of being able to say, God, help me. Here's what it is. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 from the Living Bible. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Think about this. Does God need our money? The answer to that is no. Does God want our money? The answer to that is no. It's a head fake. It's a trick question. Does God want our money? No. He wants our heart. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be also. So if you're saying, oh, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Then you've got to back that up with, and I trust him, and I ask him for provision, and I'm doing my part about being a good steward with what he has given to me. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I think somewhere in the last 10 or 14 days, in this 14-day window, many of you and many of us got our credit card statement from December. And you went, oh, crud. Did I buy that much? Yeah, we were having the time of our life in December. It's like, oh, this is great here, you know, and we're making it rain everywhere, and so we're dropping our card, and it's like, this is so great. This is easy. I had no idea. All you had to do is put that little thing in there, and they start throwing stuff at you, and then I just walked away. And Peter came knocking, and he says, hey, remember all of those fun things? It's time to pay. And you got your credit card statement, and you went, oh, no, now what? That's why this is strategically placed today. It's the beginning of the month. Many of you, if you get paid on the 1st and the 15th, you're rolling in it right now. You're like going, dude, I just got paid. Let's go to Costco. Let's fill up the car. Let's fill up the trunk. Let's do all those things. It'll be great. And then 15th comes around, and then the 20th comes around, and you're like, let's go to Costco, but let's just hit the samples. Right? Let's just go eat at Costco. Not in line. No. Let's just and change, you know, put this jacket on now and then put the hat on the next time you go around. Oh, this is for my wife, and you know, she moved out 14 years ago, but this is for my wife. And I mean, come on, right? And so then the 20th, the 21st, the 25th, you're like, oh, dude, I'm getting hungry. And now we can't drive anywheres because we got no money to put gas in our car. How am I doing? Stepping on any toes? Sorry. This is the reality of where we live. But the truth is, I want you to know this. The church, Parkway Hills Church, we do our very, very best to be good stewards. We try. Listen, you know, I'd love for it to be 75 degrees in here. You'd love for it to be 75 degrees in here. But you know what? That costs money. It just does. So we don't just go, oh, let me turn this on. Let me turn that on. We're walking around, we're turning lights out. We're, you know, why? We're trying to be good stewards. Because lights in rooms that have nobody in them do what? Nothing. Air conditioning, heating in rooms that have nobody in them does nothing. And SDG&E says, thank you very much. Just keep running it. It'd be great. You see, stewardship is a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the mind. Budgeting, giving to the Lord. Remember, we have to believe that we can do more with God than we could do on our own. So, stewardship is demonstrated by enjoying what I have. Now, you're more than welcome to come to my house and enjoy what I have. I will do whatever I can to help you enjoy what I have. But this isn't about you coming to my house and enjoying what I have. This is about you enjoying what you have at your house. How many of you guys live next door to the Joneses? Nobody. Okay. But you know that the Joneses live somewhere as close to you. And here's what it is, because there is another phrase that is used, and where seems to be we're constantly trying to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, he got a new car. Well, I'm dissatisfied with mine. Oh, he got a new, and I'm dissatisfied with mine. And all of a sudden, we're beginning to think through these lenses of the commercialism that is thrown constantly at us, and we forget the spirit of contentment. Very simple verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Be satisfied. In fact, it says it's better to be satisfied with what you have than always be wanting something else. There's people in this room that stood in line for the iPhone 6. You wasted a ton of time because 2 weeks later the iPhone 7 came out. And then 8 and 9 and 10 and 10X and okay. Listen, here's the principle. It's better to be satisfied. Now, eventually, we're just having this discussion, Eloy and I, because the church actually does have a computer that's running Windows Vista. That's right, we have two that are running Windows Vista. And when I say running, that's sort of not a really good phrase to use because they don't run really well. But we have Windows Vista. I have no idea where I was going with this. Upgrade. Thank you. We're trying to enjoy what we have. But Microsoft said, no, we're not going to support that anymore. We're done with you and your Vista thing. So we got to get at least Windows 7, maybe 8, 10 would be nice. But here's the whole point. Every single time that we turn around, there's going to be somebody someplace going, hey, come get this, get better, grow, get, you got to have all these kinds of things. And the truth is, that's what's putting us behind. That's really what's putting us behind. What are we teaching to our kids? How do your kids learn good stewardship? Well, mom and dad, it's up to you. You got to model it. You got to example it. You've got to teach it. Teach your kids early. Hebrews 13:5, be content with what you have. I'm nearly done. You see, what I want you to see and what I want you to feel is this. This is not a giving message. Giving message. This is a principle of stewardship message. This is how can I get better? How do I grow in my Christian journey so that I can actually be godly with my finances, not just pray to Him and ask Him to fix them? And so, to be reminded again, we can do more with God than we can do on our own. And so, the Living Bible from Job chapter 31, verses 24, 28. Job says this. Again, you got to know the story of Job. This might mean nothing to you if you don't know the story of Job. So, go read the story of Job, which is in the book of Job. And as you begin to look at that story, you begin to go, oh, now I get why he is saying what he says. He says, if I put my trust in money, if my happiness depends on wealth, it have meant that I've denied the God of heaven. Job had all of that stripped away from him, and it had, if all of that had such meaning, he would have literally gone and done what his advisors were saying for him to do, just end it all, curse God and die. That's what Job would have done. But he says, no, my hope, my trust is not in my money. And for some of us here in this room, our hope, our trust is in our money. And I can't wait for the next check to get here. And God's saying, wait a minute, did you honor me? Are you honoring me? Because if your hope and your trust is in wealth, then you're denied the God of heaven. Two more questions. Can I trust God? Can you trust God? Sure. Second question. Can God trust me? So here we are. We're sitting here like going, oh, God, you know, I'd love to have. It's like going, dude, I've given you more wealth to live where you live in this day and this time. I've given you more wealth and you've done what with it? What have you done with what you have received? That's the principle. So, if you're not a steward, meaning you don't give a dime, you don't support God's church, you don't support God's work, if you're that person, then today can be a day which you can begin the steps. How do you do that? Go back. And the reason why we use handouts is so you can actually go back Monday morning, Tuesday morning, one other day, and you can look at it. Here's the roadmap for better stewardship in my life. So you, if you're not a steward, you can become one. If you're so-so on that and you fall off your diet every once in a while, then you can say, you know what, I can get better at being a steward. And if you look at this list, you're like going, dude, we're rocking it. Then you become a mentor and you pull other people alongside of you. 12 months ago, 13 months ago, January happened in this church. And our church budget was hit in 1 month by $11,000. We'd worked really hard. October, November, December of 2017 came up to the end of that. We're going to retire our debt. We're like going, yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to, you know, we got really, really close. And we're like, man, we're celebrating. This is so good. Thank you, God. And we came to January and y'all got your credit card bills in January. It's like, uh-oh. And $11,000 was less in the month of January 2018. And it took us 12 months. Keep chipping away, save money at the light bill, make sure we don't go buy this, all this. I believe that the principle is true. I practice it in my own life. And I encourage you, listen, I don't want anybody to walk out of here with this, oh, I'm bad. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, here's a way biblically to help you get better. That's all. I do want you to walk out of here, though. Really. I do want you to leave. So would you stand? Because someplace the chicken wings are burning. Someplace the wings have got to get on. Someplace somebody actually might care, probably not. Lord, I just pray for these words that have been delivered today. They're your words, not mine. It's your scripture, not me. It's your principles, not mine. You've chosen a vehicle through me to speak. And I pray that these words are received in the manner in which they've been delivered, with your love, with your guidance, with your direction. And Lord, that we would become thankful, that we'd become hopeful, that we'd become faithful and being able to be responsive to you. And Lord, if there's anyone here in this room that is just saying, man, I don't know how to do this and I want to get more help, I would love to be that resource that lets point us in the right direction. Lord, thank you for our day. We pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen.